Imagine walking onto a college campus where students demand protection not just from physical threats, but from challenging ideas, where words are equated with violence and disagreement with harm. How did we arrive here? Greg Lukianoff and Jonathan Haidt's investigation began when Lukianoff, having benefited from cognitive behavioral therapy for depression, recognized troubling patterns in campus discourse that mirrored the very cognitive distortions therapists work to dismantle. What if our well-intentioned efforts to protect young minds are actually making them more fragile? The book identifies three great untruths that have infiltrated our culture: that humans are fragile and must be protected from challenge, that feelings are always reliable guides to reality, and that life is a battle between good people and evil people. These ideas contradict ancient wisdom and modern psychological science, yet they've gained remarkable traction, particularly among the generation born after 1995, dubbed iGen. The consequences extend far beyond campus walls. As these young adults enter the workforce and political life, they bring with them habits of mind that make democratic discourse and collaborative problem solving increasingly difficult. What's particularly alarming is how these untruths become self-reinforcing, creating exactly the fragility, emotional reasoning, and binary thinking they presuppose. "What doesn't kill me makes me stronger" captures a vital truth about human development that modern safetyism overlooks. Like children raised in overly sterile environments who develop allergies because their immune systems never learn to distinguish real threats, psychological overprotection prevents the development of essential resilience. Nassim Taleb's concept of anti-fragility describes systems that don't just survive stress but grow stronger from it, like bones becoming denser through weight-bearing exercise, or minds developing resilience through intellectual challenges. Yet today's safetyism culture extends safety beyond physical protection to emotional comfort. At Brown University, a debate about sexual assault prompted the creation of a safe space with cookies and puppy videos for potentially distressed students, treating young adults as fundamentally fragile. This sheltering poses problems for graduates entering a world that offers no trigger warnings. The results are evident: unprecedented levels of anxiety and depression among the most protected generation, correlating with decreased independence in childhood. "I feel offended, therefore an offense has occurred." This reasoning elevates feelings above objective reality, contradicting cognitive behavioral therapy's CBT core principles. CBT works by identifying distorted patterns like emotional reasoning, believing something is true because it feels true. When receiving criticism, emotional reasoning might interpret it as a personal attack because it feels bad, rather than examining whether it targets your work versus your character. Campus culture increasingly validates emotional reasoning as reality's primary interpreter. The concept of microaggressions, while useful for understanding unconscious bias, often overemphasizes subjective feelings over objective events. This prioritization of impact over intent changes how we judge actions. At Emory, students claimed feeling unsafe after seeing Trump 2016 chalk messages. The Foundation for Individual Rights in Education noted increased speaker disinvitation attempts post-2009, driven by emotional discomfort concerns. Such reasoning frequently pairs with binary thinking, viewing questioners of social justice advocacy as enemies rather than people with different perspectives. When Yale Administrator Erica Christakis questioned Halloween costume regulations, students demanded her husband's resignation, shouting, "You should not sleep at night." This binary worldview reflects our tribal nature. Lukianoff and Haidt contrast common humanity identity politics, emphasizing shared humanity, with common enemy identity politics, which defines groups through opposition. When disagreement equals violence, genuine educational discourse becomes impossible. Six interacting trends created what Lukianoff and Heitkar, a perfect storm, beginning around 2013. Political polarization has transformed America into hostile camps, with Republicans and Democrats growing increasingly antagonistic. On university campuses, liberal faculty now outnumber conservatives by up to 17-1 in some fields. Anxiety and depression have surged among adolescents since 2011, when smartphone ownership exceeded 50% among teens. iGen shows markedly higher rates of mental health issues, with girls' depression rates rising 65% between 2011-2015. Parenting styles shifted in the 1980s when high-profile child abduction cases sparked moral panic. Despite falling crime rates, paranoid parenting emerged, restricting children's independence. Free play has declined since the 1970s, with unstructured play replaced by adult-directed activities, eliminating crucial opportunities for children to learn risk-taking, conflict resolution, and resilience. University bureaucracies expanded as colleges became more business-oriented. Growing administrative staff often implemented policies prioritizing emotional comfort over intellectual challenge. The quest for social justice sometimes undermines reasoned discourse by defining individuals through group identities rather than unique characteristics. Lukianoff and Haidt promote preparing children for life's challenges rather than removing obstacles from their path, offering practical strategies to counter anxiety and polarization. The approach emphasizes age-appropriate independence. Free-range parenting advocate Lenore Skenazy encourages focusing on children's capabilities rather than remote risks. Letting a capable 10-year-old walk to school builds competence, while driving them due to kidnapping fears reinforces anxiety. Parents can help children challenge negative thoughts using basic CBT techniques. When a child says, "Nobody likes me," parents can encourage reality testing through targeted questions about specific friendships. Device management is essential, keeping phones out of bedrooms, establishing tech-free periods, and delaying social media until high school protect mental health. Unstructured play develops crucial skills in risk assessment, conflict resolution, and creativity. Organizations like Let Grow facilitate safe opportunities for independent play. For teens, programs like AmeriCorps, City Year, or Military Service can build maturity and purpose before college, allowing development through meaningful contribution. Universities must balance inclusivity with intellectual rigor while countering the great untruths. The University of Chicago's 2015 Statement on Principles of Free Expression affirms that civility concerns cannot justify suppressing ideas, however disagreeable. Viewpoint diversity in admissions and hiring prevents departmental echo chambers where weak arguments go unchallenged. Like racial and gender diversity, ideological diversity ensures ideas face proper scrutiny. Campus mental health services should emphasize CBT approaches that build resilience. When students face ideological distress, counselors should help examine thoughts rather than validate beliefs that certain viewpoints constitute harm. Promising societal developments include the legally protected free-range parenting movement, digital wellness initiatives promoting healthier technology use, and organizations like Braver Angels facilitating cross-political dialogue and understanding. The alternative to safetyism isn't callousness, but balance, acknowledging both human vulnerability and capacity for growth. We can create environments that are physically safe, yet intellectually challenging, taking emotions seriously without treating them as absolute truth. We can foster anti-fragility by teaching that appropriate challenges build strength, promote critical thinking over emotional reasoning, and replace us versus them thinking with intellectual humility. This requires courage, parents accepting anxiety when children take age-appropriate risks, educators defending unpopular ideas, and students engaging with challenging concepts. The rewards are substantial. young people equipped with wisdom, capable of finding solutions, and creating positive change. Understanding how certain ideas undermine resilience helps us chart a course that honors both our vulnerability and potential for growth.